I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. I offer you each day, 9 to 11 o'clock, a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. This is Wednesday. So next hour, we will get into hump day health, natural health news you can use as I try to be the Harriet Tubman to free yourself from the, to escape the medical system. We had originally scheduled to have Sunny in from Integrative Health and Wellness Clinic. She's not able to make it today, so we're going to reschedule that. I apologize. Several people had asked me when she was coming in. They wanted to hear. This is integrative medicine. I believe this is the future. And what is substantially better for people than the Western allopathic medical system that we're currently living under. So people are enthusiastic to hear what she had to say about integrative health. We will reschedule that show. I'll let you know when it's coming, but there's always plenty of topics to cover. I ran across a CVS ad and a pharmaceutical drug ad. That's all it takes to spur the nugget of a show. And so we'll take a look at several different things that have to do with your health and reclaiming it. So we'll do that next hour, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. Quotes of the day today. We'll see where we start here. Voltaire said, "It is forbidden to kill. Therefore, all murderers are punished, unless they kill in large numbers and to the sound of trumpets." This is along the lines of what I've told you. We've got a group of psychopaths running countries all over the world, particularly here in the United States. And if you kill one person, you're going to do life in prison in most cases. I guess maybe there are soft sentences for some. But, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be dealt with swiftly by the justice system if you kill one person. If you kill a couple of million people over a couple of decades, you actually retire with a federal pension and you're considered a leader. That was Voltaire. James Madison said, "Charity is no part of the legislative duty of the government." Should we adopt the Mike Madison tax strategy, which is no individual income taxes? I talked a lot the other day about what do you think would happen to our economy if we left $2 trillion a year in taxpayers' pockets? What could we do for our main streets and our towns? And to add to that, what do you think charities would look like? As generous as Americans are, as charitable as we are, particularly here in the state of Mississippi, can you imagine what charities could blossom and do good work if we were allowed to keep all of our own money? And speaking of money, J.P. Morgan himself in 1912 said, "Gold is money, everything else is credit." That's J.P. Morgan in 1912, the year before he and his banker cabal set up the Federal Reserve, where they based the entire American system on debt and credit. He knew what the game was. I'm sure J.P. Morgan didn't saddle himself with debts and owned actually real money. Listener sent me a story, and I appreciate it, because it's a mainstream news story, and I would not have run across this myself. This is particularly a CBS evening news story with Nora O'Donnell, CBS being one of the worst propaganda outlets out there. So I wouldn't have run across this myself, but they sent me a story this is a CBS News story about inflation. Now, the headline and the body of the story are different than the video that accompanied it, which was odd to me, but we'll do both here to take a look at these things. This is CBS News. The title of this piece is "Companies Use Inflation to Hike Prices and Generate Huge Profit," report says. Now, the story that they did, this is the actual, I guess, what appeared on the CBS Evening News, was talking about the struggle of the small business owner, the mom and pop shops out there. And it's a little different than the story, but I think it's worth listening to.
Economy with those stunning new inflation numbers out today. The Labor Department's Consumer Price Index rose by 8.5% in March compared to a year ago. That is the fastest pace in more than 40 years. Gas prices accounted for over half the monthly increase. President Biden traveled to Iowa today to unveil a new plan to drive down those rising gas prices. And with higher prices on food to gas to rent, inflation impacts everyone, but especially those struggling to make ends meet. CBS's Janet Shamlian has the real-world impact of rising prices.
Inflation slicing into profits at Rogel's Barbecue Company in Houston.
Let me get a one-meat plate.
Brisket has gone up 40 cents a pound in the last few days.
Okay.
Owner Russell Rogel's orders 2,200 pounds a week.
How has inflation impacted your business?
Inflation's impacted everything about our business. I mean, anything from the proteins to the paper goods to the chemicals we use to clean. Every single thing that we use has gone up.
And those costs get passed along.
You do have to raise your prices, but you can only go up so much before you price yourself out of the market. They'll look at the menu board and look down, they're like, whoa, you went up. And I'm like, look, we have to. We don't have a choice.
There's pain across the board. Even with wages rising, the average household is now spending $327 more every month on goods and services. Meat prices are up almost 15%. Overall food prices nearly 9%. Energy prices skyrocketing 32% in the past year. And in just a month, gas prices jumped a whopping 18%. In Florida, it cost second-grade teacher Kristen Outer almost $90 this week to fill her tank,
which was brutal, but the groceries is really, really taking a toll. Unless teachers get a massively huge pay increase, I can't afford to continue being a teacher. I have to put my family first.
Russell Rogel's thought after the pandemic, the worst was behind him. Times now, he says, are even leaner.
Our choices are go up on pricing, cut our quality, cut our portions, or close the doors. I don't want to do the last three, so we have to go up on pricing to survive.
A new study finds 75% of small businesses have had to raise prices. These are companies that were already struggling to retain workers, and they now fear inflation could do them in. Nora?
Impacting so many. Janet Shamlian, thank you.
It would be nice if they would explain to you exactly why this is taking place. It would be fantastic if they just explained actually what inflation is. The true definition of inflation is increasing the money supply, and this is at the feet of the Federal Reserve. This is who did this to us. It would be great if, I mean, this is not a difficult concept. It's well known within economic circles. Now it's parsed because economics is just like COVID. It's considered a science, but it's manipulated by politics. But it would be just absolutely wonderful if they would explain to you, well, we should have seen this coming. The Federal Reserve has been printing up trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Our government has been demanding they print this money so they can spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that they don't have. And this is the consequence of it. We saw it happen in Rome centuries ago. We have seen countries throughout history go through this exact same thing with the exact same result. This is not, it's not difficult stuff. It would be nice if they educated the American people about it, but, you know, giant corporations like, I guess, Viacom that owns CBS, I believe they're still a Viacom company, they benefit from this system. And so they don't want you to understand that you should reject it. But underneath this piece, and one other thing about this too, small businesses are raising prices. And I really hope Americans understand when you go to the mom and pop shops, when you go to the local restaurants, when you go to the local retailers, when you go to these places and you see prices are up, I do some work with local businesses and you will hear customers say, oh God, y'all raised your prices, didn't you? There's a bit of an anger there. I guess I get that. None of us want to see anything get more expensive, but people have absolutely no idea the resistance that the local business owner has to raising their prices. Believe me, it's not for means of profit. It's just necessary for preservation at this point. If you go into a local business and they've raised prices, blame the Federal Reserve and your federal government and your state governments. Blame them. Don't blame the local business owner. They are just trying to survive. The cost of goods that restaurants and small retailers are having to buy now, and this is, I'm outside of the radio station, I'm involved in local businesses. I'm involved in some manufacturers. The cost of raw materials to manufacture things has gone through the roof. I've done some work with a company that does steel work. During COVID, steel tripled in prices, then went up about another 20% in a further leg, and then there were supply shortages. They have broken everything. It would be nice if CBS News or anybody out there would implicate the right people as to what this is about. But CBS does actually even worse than not informing you of what the true cause of inflation is. I want you to listen to this story underneath what they said. They said some of the nation's largest retailers have been using soaring inflation rates as an excuse to raise prices and rake in billions of dollars in additional profit, or corporate watchdog groups charged on Friday. Companies such as CVS Health, Kroger, and TJ Maxx parent company TJX appear to have raised their prices unnecessarily in 2020 and 2021 at a time when Americans were dealing with the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. The economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic was entirely caused by bureaucrats and politicians. It had nothing to do with the disease. It was them. The federal government, in response to that, in 2020 under Donald Trump and in 2021 under Joe Biden, sent out massive amounts of cash to consumers. What do you think was going to happen to prices? You suddenly had all of this fresh cash flowing out to people to buy things. And at the same time, they shut down manufacturing facilities. So what happens when you have more money chasing fewer goods? More money because they attempted to, air quotes here in the studio, stimulate the economy by sending out free stimmies. At the same time, they cut off the means of production by these nut jobs who closed down manufacturing plants. More money chasing fewer goods means higher prices. They created this whole thing. Now they're trying to lay this at the feet. Look, I don't carry any water for any of the mega corporations in this country in any way. But what CBS News is trying to do here is tell you this is that they're carrying the Elizabeth Warren line of it's the greedy corporation's fault. Again, they won't tell you that it's Federal Reserve and government fault for printing up and overspending money. They're going to do this greedy corporations thing. Now this was interesting down here, and they got to a number. They said they went on Accountable.us, said in a new report, instead of keeping prices stable for struggling families, corporations have overcharged American and prioritized profit, the group claims. Well, first of all, prioritizing profit, that's what maintains and grows any industry. And believe me, I'm no big fan of the mega corporations. I like mom and pop Main Street businesses, shop with them whenever I can. But prioritizing profit, isn't that the name of the game? Accountable.us said it examined the financial statements of the nation's top 10 retailers over the past 2 years, including Lowe's and Target, and found that they collectively increased their profits by $24.6 million for a grand total of $99 billion. Now, we are mathematically and economically challenged in the United States, but anybody, I hope, over radio, it's a little more difficult, but when I saw these numbers, I had to reread them to make sure that they were actually trying to make this point. This is what they said. They found that they collectively increased their profits by $24.6 million for a grand total of $99 billion. I did some quick public school on my iPhone calculator math to figure out what that percentage increase is in profits. And this is a whole story about corporate greed is driving price cost. Not the stimulus checks, not the Federal Reserve printing money, not the fact that we shut down production in this country for probably a good solid year with interruptions. All of the things that the bureaucrats and the politicians did to create supply-demand problems. Instead of pointing any of that stuff out, they're trying to do this. It's all corporate greed. If these retailers did increase their profits by $24.6 million into a market of $99 billion, do you know what the percentage increase in profits was? 0.2%. 0.2%, 0.2% is what they increased their profits by. Now, we are all being treated right now to a recognized and admitted to 8.5% inflation, according to the story that CBS News just did. Now, you and I know, and particularly if you've listened to this show and I've done story after story of the real cost of inflation, we're looking at somewhere between 15 and 20% inflation in the real world. So these companies, in the face of inflation running at least at 8.5%, probably closer to 15%, they increase their profits by 0.2%. Let's just say that these corporations are greedy and they this extra profit that they're making. How dare they? How dare they make extra profit? They didn't point a gun at anybody's head to buy any of these goods or services. Now, many of these big corporations also would probably be under right now if we hadn't bailed out whole industries during the 2008-2009 crisis and during coronavirus when we sent out billions and billions and billions of dollars to these businesses so that they would bend a knee to the government and close their doors or demand mask mandates or test their employees or give their employees shots. But this idea that somehow that they are responsible for this inflation because they unnecessarily raised their prices, and they apparently raised their prices. They got a 0.2% bump in profits. What accounts for the other 8.3% inflation, CBS? Am I making my point here? This is an attempt. This CBS News article, and I thought it was kind of odd because the story that accompanies this, the video that they played on the CBS Evening News, is the plight of the small business owner who is being forced to raise his prices in the case of this restaurant owner, or he will go out of business. It's not his fault prices are high. It's not his fault that the bureaucrats, the politicians, and the money masters have just destroyed the U.S. economy, and he's fighting for his life. It's not his fault. So they do that story explaining that it is a matter of survival for businesses to raise their prices, and then the story accompanying it is that the companies that have raised their prices did it just out of greed. Well, even Target and Lowe's and the rest of these places have had the same supply chain disruptions caused by the politicians and the bureaucrats. They've had the same effect of inflation caused by the Federal Reserve and a Congress with an insatiable demand for more and more printed money that we don't have, just printed into thin air. They have to pay more to bring products into their stores and then mark them up and sell them to survive themselves. Anyway, this story is a blame corporate greed for the inflation, pay no attention to the real root causes of it. And I just can't let any of these stories go by. I think the listener who sent me this thing kind of thought, hey, look at this. It's corporate greed that's driving this thing. Or, you know, some of these stores are terrible. They're raising their prices. Of course they're raising their prices. The cost of everything to the stores themselves has gone through the roof. We're going to go through some of these things. What I've got for the bulk of this first hour before I get to my health stuff is about what is essentially national suicide. It's Western suicide when it comes to the sanctions now, not even withstanding just the inflation done by the money printing around the world. Understand the EU has printed up a bunch of money too to destroy their economies, and their inflation is rampant in Europe the same way it is here. But the sanctions on Russia and their effect on the economy, every economy is suffering, not because of any natural force, not because of a virus, not because of anything except what seems to be, as I go through these stories, when you think about the fact that what I'm going to lay out to you here is all results of the sanctions we put on Russia to do what? To hurt Russia. To hurt those Russians. those aggressors, that Hitlerian Vladimir Putin, as they refer to him. And yet story after story that I've gotten in just the past few hours show that it is all backfiring, and it is us. It's us, not the Russians. Oh, the Russians are suffering. Believe me, they've got problems over there, too. We are hurting them successfully. For some reason, that goes as foreign policy. We want to hurt millions of Russians who have done nothing to us whatsoever. We want to hurt them. And they say it out loud. This is why I tell you, this nation is run by psychopaths. As just basically every Western nation is. So they're hurting the Russian people and bragging about it out loud, but they are really hurting us. It's hurting us worse than it's hurting the Russians. And I've got story after story that I've run across, as I say, just in a few hours, in one morning. I could do this all week. The blowback. And you could say, well, these are unintended consequences. We all have to collectively suffer a little bit to stand with Ukraine. No, we don't. No, we don't. The sanctions they're leveling against Russia, they're not hurting the Russian government. They're not hurting Vladimir Putin. They're just hurting the Russian people, which accomplishes nothing. Sanctions never work. It's kind of a dirty little secret. They never work. Have you noticed this? And there's that pesky little thing about sanctions actually being war crimes. That's lost in the discussion of it because now sanctions, we dish them out like Tic Tacs. But they never work. But they are actually hurting the Western countries far more than they're hurting Russia. This almost feels like a plan, doesn't it? We'll get to those when we come back. Stay with me. I couldn't stop reading, going back through this CBS article on inflation. This is a tweet in the story from Robert Reich. He says that Robert Reich was Secretary of Labor or something in the Clinton administration. He's one of these swamp creatures that just keeps pontificating. You know, the establishment people who create the messes that we all have to live in, and they tell you how to solve them, what the problem is, but they never actually tell you what the true cause of these things. He says meat prices increased by double digits. Tyson's CEO says they're asking customers to, quote, pay for inflation. Meanwhile, Tyson posted $1 billion in profits last quarter, a 48% increase from the first quarter of 2021. Don't be fooled. This is about corporate greed. It always is. Now, One of the things is I don't know what kind of production Tyson could do in the first quarter because of all of the lockdowns. We heard about this all the time, and I'm no Tyson Foods fan. I talk about real food, and Tyson puts out products that are just heavily processed bags of garbage as far as I'm concerned, and some decent products. I'm not carrying water for any of these things. The other thing is, too, what Robert Reich, if he's worried about all these corporate profits and stuff, you understand all of these businesses have been able now for years and years to borrow money at basically 0%, buy back their own stock, boost their own bonuses, and inflate their profit numbers. By using the Federal Reserve System, they have been gaming this system. The airlines, you know, the airlines who just went hat in hand to Congress during coronavirus and asked for bailouts and got billions and billions and billions of dollars of bailouts. The years prior, they had been borrowing money, making themselves very vulnerable to a downturn, right? When you have a lot of debt, things don't go well. You still got to make interest payments on that debt. You still got money that you owe. It makes it very difficult to operate when things get bad. So the airlines, for the years preceding coronavirus, they used 95% of their free cash flow to buy back their own stocks to juice their bonuses. So if you've got a problem with these corporations, it's them at the trough of free money, which has really made them the elites, the oligarchs in this society. It's not raising prices during an inflationary period. But the story went on. Where did I see this down here? I talk about supply chain stuff. Oh, here it is. It's time corporations finally help shoulder the burden average Americans have been going through. Have taken on throughout the health crisis. Corporations can start by stabilizing prices for consumers instead of pursuing ever higher profits on top of finally paying their fair share in taxes. This whole CBS thing is just nothing but a look over here at the greedy corporations. They talk about profit increases. If you have a product and you sell it, let's say you've got a 10% margin, you've got a product that you sell for $100. What's your profit? You got a 10% margin on something you sell for $100, you make $10, right? If it ends up that you have to increase the price of that because the cost of goods goes up, you still maintain the 10%. That's your business model. We make 10% on this product. But you have to charge $110 for it. What's your profit on that? If you still make the same 10%, you make $11. So theoretically, you've made an extra buck. You've raised these prices. You're making a little bit extra. But those extra dollars buy less now, too. You see what I'm saying? It's this idea of just acting like any increase at the corporate profit level is just absolute greed and not admitting to the fact that it's like movie sales. You know, this is always kind of cracks me up when you see movies. Now, Star Wars and Jaws, you know, were some of the first blockbusters that I can really remember. And they will come out and they'll say, this new movie is the highest grossing movie of all times. And I think to myself, when the big blockbusters, Star Wars and Jaws, came out, what was a movie ticket? $2.50? Well, now a movie ticket is $13. Of course it's the highest grossing. It doesn't mean more people saw it. It doesn't mean it's more popular or, you know, theoretically more successful. But every time prices go up, obviously the movies that attract, you can attract a hell of a lot fewer people to see your movie at $13 a ticket than you had to at $2 a ticket. And you end up being the highest grossing thing. It's all relative, and it's all lost in looking at it these ways. They don't inflation adjust blockbuster movies anymore. They say this movie took in $240 million in the first weekend. It's an all-time record. Well, of course it is. You charged $100 a ticket. I mean, it's just across the board. This idea that this is just corporate greed. There's plenty of corporate greed out there. There's no doubt about it. Corporate greed is saddling the middle class and the working class with the inflation that was caused by endless money printing, which these corporations took advantage of to buy back their own stock and boost their compensation. That is corporate greed. Having to raise prices in an inflationary environment where the cost of goods that you're bringing in. I did the story yesterday with Peter Schiff explaining that import prices are up, 2% in a month, 2.8% in a month, something like that, an annualized like 29%. A lot of these companies, the Lowe's, the Targets, any of these things, or whatever you want to say about them, selling imported goods, that's what we do. So all the price on all of the things that they import to resell to Americans here out of their stores has gone up astronomically. What are they supposed to do? This piece calls them to start stabilizing prices. And the funny thing is, too, in the statistics, when you've looked at the cost of import goods and what they've gone up versus the increase in cost to American consumers, the corporations have not actually been passing on all of the higher costs that they're incurring. The inflation is actually worse, and corporations have actually, in a lot of cases, at least over the broad swath of increased input costs to companies versus the increased price they've passed on to consumers, they haven't even passed on all of inflation yet, but it's coming. Prices are going to continue to go up. I don't know. I could probably do a whole show on this and do a much better job of picking this apart piece by piece and trying to explain it a little bit better. It's just maddening to me to see these people try to foist this off as some kind of this is going to be an attack on capitalism. Look at the inflation that capitalism has caused. No. It's the inflation that Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, every Congress, and the Federal Reserve has created. But they're never mentioned in these stories. And I can't sit here and let that happen. Be right back. What's your frequency, Ken? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm going to get off the inflation stuff a little bit. Now you'll be treated, if you listen to conservative talk radio and the national host, you'll be treated to the Biden inflation. They'll try to convince you it's all Joe Biden's fault. Equally wrong, but this is the way Americans are manipulated. Anyway, I was looking at it. I ran across a story. Vladimir Putin has spoken. I think it's important we listen to what the guy has to say. Putin has called sanctions a failure. Russian President Vladimir Putin said Monday that the Western sanctions that were intended to punish Moscow into submission and end its war with Ukraine have failed and instead hurt the very countries who imposed them. Putin used a televised address to tell Russians the sanctions were, quote, expected to quickly upset the financial economic situation, provoke panic in the markets, and the collapse of the banking system and shortages in stores. But, said the West's, quote, economic blitz, unquote, failed and backfired. He said they instead led to a, quote, deterioration of the economy in the West. And I got to tell you, he's dead on. And could they be this stupid, or is this seriously just a plan? Is this all part of the Great Reset to bring us to our knees, just begging for any salvation? We'll do whatever the government says. You just send us a check. You know, this is what governments do. They make you so miserable that you will accept anything. Listen to just a few of the stories that I've collected in the past few hours. Reuters reports that the EU, these are Western countries, the EU is set to declare a full embargo on Russian oil after this weekend's French election. Now, this is gross, too. Do you know why they're waiting until after the French election? Because it's Marie Le Pen, the right candidate, is potentially going to beat Emmanuel Macron, the left-wing globalist candidate. I believe he actually worked at the House of Rothschild. And they know that if they cut off these oil imports, then prices are going to spike right before the election. So they're going to wait until after the election because Marie Le Pen could point to the prices at the pump and go, look, this is what Macron wanted. He voted for all these sanctions. Now look what you're paying for. And she may actually win the election. So they're going to wait. They're going to wait until after the election for these sanctions. Just more gross politicking. The story goes on. If Europe follows through on its warning to expand sanctions to all Russian oil, what happens to the price? Well, according to J.P. Morgan, nothing good. As their commodity strategist, Natasha Kaneva, writes, she's reviewed various scenarios should Europe expand its sanctions to include Russian oil and warns that, quote, any immediate embargo measure taken by the EU will have a severe impact on the global oil market with risk to price entirely to the upside in the short term. Now, that's Wall Street speaking going, if you put these sanctions in, just Katie bar the door for oil prices. What would oil prices end up being? You know, right now we're paying about $4 a gallon. And oil prices are hovering around $100 a barrel. A full and immediate embargo is likely to hurt European consumers more than Russian producers in the near term. More importantly, a full immediate ban would likely drive Brent crude prices to $185 a barrel. And I think WTI, which is the West Texas Intermediate, I believe is the way it's referred, that's kind of the price of a barrel of oil that we consider here. It usually lags Brent by, I think, about $10. So it would be, right now, oil is around $100 a barrel. I hadn't looked at it in the last couple of days, but it's been floating right around $100 a barrel. It would go up to around $175 a barrel. So can you say $6 gas? See, these are more West sanctions to hurt the Russians, and Vladimir Putin's going, you know, we're doing fine. The Russian ruble has recovered. I think it's stronger than it was pre-invasion. It doesn't mean the Russians are not hurting, but we've been putting these sanctions on them for so long, they're probably kind of used to it. But the West sanctions are actually hurting the citizens of the West who elected the people that enacted the sanctions. Here's another one, Germany. As Europe continues to consider a ban on Russian energy imports, German business and unions are joining forces in opposition, warning that an immediate Russian natural gas ban would have a severe negative impact on industry and jobs. Here's one from the UK. Here's the headline. UK energy executives tell MPs, these are members of parliament, that, quote, fuel poverty will crush households into debt. Living standards in Britain continue to death spiral as large numbers of customers will go into debt due to soaring power bills, according to Bloomberg. And they go down into fuel, what do they say, fuel poverty here. European Electric Utility, a chief executive, Michael Lewis, told lawmakers that customers' borrowings would increase by 50%. Quote, we are expecting a severe impact on customers' ability to pay. That will see a significantly larger number of people moving into fuel poverty and a consequent significant increase in bad debt. Government action won't nearly be enough to mitigate the full impact of these price increases. Come October, this is Keith Anderson, he's the CEO of Scottish Power. Come October, that's going to get horrific, truly horrific. So these are more sanctions leveled against the Russians that are hurting the British. So we've got all of EU, we've got worldwide oil prices going to be $175 a barrel, WTI. We got Germany at the brink of severe problems, energy problems. You've got the UK saying that they're going to go into fuel poverty and that people are going to have to borrow 50% more just to be able to afford to heat their homes. Farmers in China, India, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and Vietnam, the largest rice-producing countries, could experience reduced output due to soaring fertilizer prices, another consequence of the Russian sanctions. International Rice Research Institute warns that the harvest could plunge as much as 10% in the next season, equating to about 36 million tons of rice, or enough food to feed 500 million people, according to Bloomberg. Chemical fertilizers such as nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are the most applied nutrients for high-yielding rice cultivation. Farmers have been particularly vulnerable to soaring fertilizer prices as some have reduced the amount of nutrients to save cost. This threatens future harvest as production declines could stoke food inflation for a crop that feeds half of humanity. So this will spread. The pain is going to everybody, and the Russians are suffering. As I say, though, they're kind of used to these sanctions. Sure, they're adjusting over there, but Putin's exactly right. The West is destroying itself, and apparently we're going to take down the rest of humanity with it. Is this just some big depopulation agenda? We've heard about these fertilizer prices. I think it's Russia and maybe Ukraine itself that are huge fertilizer producers. And even here in the United States, we've seen problems with fertilizer. And remember yesterday we covered that natural gas is now over $8 for the first time since the financial crisis due to our companies shipping more natural gas over to Europe, leaving less for us over here because of the sanctions against Russian natural gas into Germany and the rest of the EU. So we're seeing price spikes in natural gas. It's all coming home to roost with us. All of these Western leaders and all their hyperventilating about Russia for a situation they caused in the first place. Russia's been saying for 30 years, quit moving NATO closer to our borders for 30 years. And they said our red line, you know, we're supposed to always have our red lines respected, right? Iran can't enrich uranium to a certain level or we'll bomb all of their nuclear plants. That's our red line. Syria can't use chemical weapons. That's our red line. We're always giving red lines. Russia's been giving a red line for 30 years and then got a really hard red line with Ukraine, and we never listened to them. We kept crossing. We were dancing over the red line, and now they've moved into Ukraine, and the Western countries are sanctioning the crap out of Russia, and it's all boomeranging back on Western citizens, including ourselves. Joe Biden being one of the chief architects of these endless sanctions that are just devastating average, ordinary people across the world, but particularly in Western countries. Something to behold. I'll be right back.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, next hour we're going to move into health stuff. I'm going to finish up the stuff on inflation and the West's sanctions actually hurting the West more than it's hurting Russia. And whether this is on purpose or they are just this stupid, I believe there's a healthy dose of both. The response to inflation is going to be especially disastrous too, just like the response to COVID made everything worse. In Britain, living costs skyrocket as wages fail to outpace inflation amid rising energy costs. According to the Resolution Foundation, average family will be paying £1,100 more over the next 12 months to satisfy their energy needs. That's just energy, not food or anything else. This will break the bank for lower-income households that will go into debt. So they got a bad situation brewing over there, particularly for the working class in England. So what are they going to do? They're going to make it worse. To mitigate some of the stress on families, the government pledged a $9 billion rescue package for consumers. They're going to print up more money, stoke more inflation. And you know that's coming here in the United States, too. I would imagine sometime between now and Election Day, before the midterms, don't you kind of get the sense that maybe the Democrats are going to float out some more stimmies, try to buy some more votes? Republicans did it with Medicare Part D. They gave all the seniors free drugs, courtesy of the U.S. taxpayer. This is what they do. They buy votes. The printing of money to send... You create inflation by printing a bunch of money. Then when the people grumble about it, you print up more to send it to them, which causes what? Anyone? 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 More inflation. And they'll get away with this because people cannot diagnose the problem. Libertarians can. I've been screaming about it for decades. No one wanted to listen. Nobody wants to talk about the Federal Reserve System. That's boring stuff. Talk about AOC. No. This is why we're in this mess, because people do not understand. And this is a disaster in the making. Oh, I hate these people. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a look at health-related topics, particularly from a natural health perspective, an integrative health perspective, a functional health perspective. We're supposed to have Sunny in from Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic out there in Ridgeland, but she couldn't make it today. We're going to reschedule that show. Apologies to those who ask when she would be on, but we will reschedule and have her on. Integrative health, the future of medicine, if people are wise, which is looking to the inside and trying to figure out what's going wrong instead of just treating endless symptoms. I am here to try to lead people out of the wilderness of the pharmacological model that we're using for our health right now. You know, if you want to mitigate inflation, if prices of everything are going up, and we've known the prices of drugs have been going through the roof. Now, the Congress critters have managed to pass on more and more of that cost to American taxpayers, just kind of hiding it in the darkness, adding it to the national debt so that people don't have to come out of pocket. Big pharma gets to increase their prices. Average citizens are lulled into this false sense that their drugs have not gone up that much because I've got insurance, or I've got Medicare or Medicaid or Obamacare. And so the government ends up picking up huge amounts of the tabs. We have to print up a bunch of money to sustain that debt, and that's created the inflation in the first place. I mean, quite a system we got going here. But anyway, if you want to mitigate some of the expenses that you have because of the increased prices and everything you're buying right now, reclaiming your health, great place to start. Really great place to start. Haven't spent a nickel on a doctor's appointment in 15 years now, outside of maybe a bottle of ibuprofen a year. I don't spend any money on pharmaceutical things either. That's a lot of savings over 15 years. You want to save some money and feel better along the way, then take control of your own health. I start every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist. I do know the difference between a man and a woman, but I'm not a biologist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a nothing. I'm not an immunologist, a virologist. I'm nothing. I have no certification to advise you on your health. I'm just giving you little nuggets. I'm dropping little breadcrumbs. You can pick them up, follow them if you want to. Do your own research. More about that in a second. Today's 420, I was reminded. I didn't even know this. I'm a big proponent of medical marijuana. I'm a proponent of using natural products to address health-related issues. This, to a lot of people, is bizarro world because you've been scared, propagandized to, against marijuana. But I believe in it. A lot of the local communities have been opting out of medical marijuana programs in their towns. I think this is short-sighted, but I hate to see some areas that deprive their citizens, make their citizens go out of their way to find medications that pharmaceuticals cannot fill. A lot of people with Parkinson's and other issues, big pharma, big swing and a miss, ton of side effects for these things or drugs that don't work. This is a natural plant-based medicine, the medical marijuana program. And if you'd like to do that, there's a website. I need to look it up, make sure I'm saying it right. pardon me, my on-air research here. LocalOptIn.com. LocalOptIn.com. If you live in an area that has opted out, I know Gluckstadt has opted out. I believe Madison has opted out. Many of these places have opted out. If you want to go again, they've put up roadblock after roadblock after roadblock of bringing this medicine to citizens of Mississippi. If you want to beat them at their own game, go to localoptin.com and you can let them know that you want to sign the petition in any of these local areas. You need to be a registered voter of a town, Gluckstadt, Madison, Clinton, wherever it is that they've opted out. Go to localoptin.com and you can sign or let them know. You have to physically sign a piece of paper. You cannot sign online. You need to let them know you want to sign to have it put to a vote of the voters in your area. And this is just another hurdle that they've thrown in front of people to deprive them of what is very valid and legitimate plant medicine for their people. Now, understand, whether you're for this or not, whether you believe me or not, I'm sure you all understand that Big Pharma has corrupted the entire system. And a lot of the resistance that you see towards medical marijuana is not based in some idea that it's going to decimate our communities. I think there's 33 states right now in this country that have got medical marijuana programs, and the big problems in those communities is not medical marijuana. It's a whole host of other things. It's where the politicians have screwed things up, not where they've gotten out of the way and allowed people. Anyway, go to localoptin.com. Let them know. It's difficult to do these signature gathering efforts in small geographical areas. I know they've been trying in Gluckstadt. If you know any Gluckstadt voters who want to see this thing override the Board of Aldermen there in opting out of medical marijuana, make sure that tell your Gluckstadt friends registered in Gluckstadt to go to localoptin.com. That's one of the first places they're trying to put it to a vote of the citizens. You don't even have to be supportive of it, but let the citizens of the areas vote, not these small bodies of city councils or board of directors or mayors or any of the little petty tyrants who just decide no. Let the citizens weigh in on it. The citizens vote it down in a particular area. I completely respect that. That's fine. It'll be available somewhere else anywhere. LocalOptin.com. Quote of the day today, before we get into the show, Wendell Berry. I've never heard of this guy. He's an American essayist and novelist. He said, people are fed by the food industry, which pays no attention to health, and are treated by the health industry, which pays no attention to food. On this meme, it's got a picture of a plate with just a pill in the middle of it. That is how the medical establishment sees you. I ran across this ad for CVS. I think by clicking on this thing, and I played it a couple of times to listen to it, I think I've inadvertently sent Twitter some money. I saw this in my Twitter feed. I've always asked, how does Twitter make any money? I don't ever click on those sponsored ads. Well, I guess I did with this one. Shame on me. But I just found this kind of interesting, that this is kind of where we are as a people here in the United States.
Staying up half the night searching for savings on your prescriptions? Just ask your CVS pharmacist. We search for savings for you, from coupons to lower cost options. Plus, earn up to $50 extra bucks rewards each year just for filling at CVS Pharmacy.
So, is that what's happening? Are people staying up half the night worrying about how to lower the cost of their prescription drugs? Well, let me just tell you something. You can either struggle to find a way to afford all of your prescriptions, move things around in the family budget, try to find a government program, try to find a coupon, sign a rewards thing. Meanwhile, you're sick all along the way. And you're just trying to get something to address your symptoms. Or, and I'm just saying, seems common sense to me, you could address the underlying health conditions that are causing your illness in the first place, usually nutritional deficiencies, and just be done with the condition itself and the pharmaceuticals that are costing you a fortune along the way. I'm just saying, the choice seems fairly logical to me, but I am obviously an outlier in this society as we are the most over-medicated country on planet Earth. I just found that commercial a little interesting. I'm not familiar with the idea of staying up half the night wondering if I can go to the pharmacy to buy my drugs tomorrow. I would rather find the root cause of my problem, address that, and not need the drugs, not need to spend the money in that way. And all of this stuff is right in front of you. A couple of interesting stories I ran across. There's a headline. It was on Zero Hedge. Dr. Google will see you now. Says, for many people nowadays, the first port of call upon discovering an unusual rash or feeling a worrying pain is not the doctor, but rather Google. As Statista's Martin Armstrong details, figures from Eurostat show that the countries which are relying the most on medical information from the internet. In Finland, 8 out of 10 respondents said they had turned to the web for health-related information, an increase of 22 percentage points since 2011. Denmark recorded similar levels of reliance on Dr. Google, 75%. In Spain, in 2011, just 38% of adults professed to seeking medical information online, but as Statista's infographic shows, there's been a huge increase, with 69% now saying they turn to Google for health advice. And this goes through the fact that people are looking online when they get sick. Now, I think this is interesting, and we can see why, right? Well, number one, you've got access to the internet at any point. You can look something up. Even if your next trip, you know, your next action is to make an appointment with a doctor, maybe trying to self-diagnose or anything like this. So there's that. But there's also the cost of medicine now. People are having to kind of self-treat. Can I do anything myself before I have to go pay $100 to wait in a waiting room for an hour and then go back and wait in the small room for 30 minutes so that I can get 4 minutes with a doctor who's then going to prescribe me a drug that's going to cost me $80 a month? Is there anything else I can do? We finally gotten to that point where I think people are open to the idea of maybe taking control of their own health, if nothing else, for the cost of it all. In the U.S., a 2021 JAMA, that's the Journal American Medical Association Network, open survey of 5,000 participants found that in any given year, almost two-thirds of American adults go online to search for health information for themselves or for others. So this is another case. So it's similar here in the United States. The people are turning online for health information. A few words of encouragement and warning at the same time. Good for you. Good for you for actually expressing an interest in your own health. For too long, what we've done is just said, I don't feel well. I'll go to the doctor. He'll tell me what's wrong. They'll put me on a pill, and then I'll just keep going on until something else breaks down. Then I'll go to the doctor, and he'll give me another pill. And when that pill causes a side effect, he's got a pill for that too. We've taken almost zero interest in our own health. I think that's changing because of cost. And probably for a lot of the damage the medical establishment has done to itself over the last 2 years, that has probably told people that maybe they need to look out for their own best interest. But a word of warning, the internet is still a bit of a wild west. Number one, don't trust Google results. I have watched the complete deterioration of results for Google. You go to Google. And I don't even use that word. I just use internet search because we're talking about this search engine in these stories. If you go to Google and type in something about health, you are going to see a laundry list of things from pharmaceutical companies, from the CDC, from the NIH. They're all going to be establishment articles leading you essentially to a pharmaceutical. Treatments for. Now, I do a lot of searches for, not on Google, but on other search engines, natural treatment for. I use that a lot for this show. Or if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I've got this issue. Have you ever run across any research there? I'll research something for somebody. And I'll do natural treatments for on other search engines. And you still have to parse through a lot of crap. So be very careful. Also with Google, it was interesting. I tried to run a search, not on Google, but on other search engines, that I think used the Google algorithm. I think this particular one was on Quant, maybe. I can't remember. But I wanted to find out, how much does Big Pharma spend with Google? And strangely enough, I couldn't find that online. You can find anything online. But I swear I went through pages of results, and maybe it was I didn't type my query adequately. But I was kind of surprised that there was nothing that said Big Pharma spent, you know, $26 billion with Google in 2021. That number exists somewhere, but maybe this is a closely held trade secret for Google. But if you're on Google, you will see, if you're on YouTube, which Google owns or Alphabet owns, you will see an endless stream of pharmaceutical company ads. Understand that Google is just like the mainstream media. They are going to push the products of their biggest sponsors, and pharmaceutical companies are huge sponsors of Google. Keep that in mind. Ditto with things like WebMD. If you go to a site to get advice on your health, to try to figure something out, you can read on these sites. I mean, I am all for reading mainstream medical things and alternative medical things. You've got to use some level of discernment. It's not easy, but it's about your health. the body you're going to inhabit for your entire life. It's worth a few hours of research when it comes to these things. But if you go to a site and you see pharmaceutical ads popping up all over the thing, just understand where you are. You're in a pharmaceutical sales brochure. It's not about you regaining your health for yourself. It's about how to guide you towards a product. I found this when I was looking for how much Big Pharma spends with Google. I couldn't find that number, but I did run across this story. Verily, the health and life sciences company under Google parent company Alpha is moving into the clinical trials space. The company announced Tuesday strategic alliances with the pharmaceutical companies of Novartis, Sanofi, Otsuka, and Pfizer to help it move more deeply into the medical studies market. The goals for Verily and its pharma partners are to reach patients in new ways, make it easier to enroll and participate in trials, and aggregate data across a variety of sources, including the electronic medical record or health tracking wearable devices. So Google is actually in the delivery of pharmaceutical products with companies that it owns. It's in that space. So be very careful when you are doing internet searches. And my best piece of advice is to find some good people, good reliable sources that you trust, and go directly to them. And I've said many times, I'll list some of these out again, people that I think are good. These are people that are in chiropractic care. They're in functional medicine. They're in integrative medicine. Many of these people are MDs themselves, but they have endless streams of information about how to address nutritional deficiencies that might be hurting you. Dr. Josh Axe, draxe.com. Dr. Eric Berg, he's got a great YouTube channel with a ton of information on there. Dr. Joseph Mercola, he is somebody that personally helped me escape the medical system with the information he was putting out back in 2005. So when I really one of the first people I ran across. Dr. Mark Hyman, he's a functional medicine MD. Dr. Ken Berry, he's up in Nashville. I believe he is also a functional medicine MD. And there's a lot of other good natural health online resources. These do not include WebMD. So again, if you see things like pharmaceutical ads where you go searching for your stuff, just beware. That's what you're looking at. Know where you are. Know what playground you're playing in when they're trying to sell you drugs. Anyway, it's great news that people are taking more of an interest in their own health, doing a little bit of research. And if you've got one of those doctors, when you go in and if you do a little bit of research and you go into the doctor and say, well, I read this or I was looking this up or I was, you know, and they roll their eyes and say, oh, you got to stay off that internet. Now, they may be well-intentioned. There's a bunch of bad information on the internet. You have to. That's why I say find some trusted people and kind of, you know, float around their information. Don't just take some rando on YouTube that's got poor quality and poor lighting on a video tell you that such and such will cure such and such. Find some people that you trust. But if you've got a doctor that rolls his eyes when he finds out you took a little bit of effort to investigate your own condition, did some research into your own health, if they roll their eyes and say, you've got to stay off the internet, you need another doctor. And someone who doesn't understand that you are just as capable of regaining your health and finding strategies to get better health than a doctor that sees you for 4 minutes a month, that's just a total lack of respect for you as a patient. That's my opinion anyway. So be careful out there, but it's great that people are starting to look into things themselves. I'll be right back. Get your hand to ride on, this piece of lead to bite on. But I'm not to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash a light on? Take a look, it's on display for you. Coming down, no, not today. Did you meet your fortune teller? I occasionally talk about things that I do for my own health. I can't necessarily recommend them for you. I don't know your situation, but it's just, I tell you, because I hadn't had a sick day in 15 or 16 years. Something's working. I don't know exactly what it is, but knock on wood, so far so good. Next week will be, if anybody wants to join me, I'll be doing another short fast. Decided this year, instead of doing a long 5 to 7 day water fast in January and then maybe another one in July or August, a lot of times I don't find time during the summer months to do it. So I end up with one long fast at the beginning of the year, kind of clean me up after the holidays. This year I'm doing like quarterly 3 day, 4 day fasts. And so next week I'm planning on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, probably fasting. We'll see if my schedule allows it. I am somebody who will bail on these things and reschedule it for another week. No biggie. I'm just always trying to look for just different little health hacks and see if they work. 3 day water fast gives your body a chance to go into autophagy, get rid of some of the damaged cells, kind of repair itself while it's not consumed with eating, resets taste buds. That's all kinds of good things about fasting. I covered it a lot in January. I won't do it now, but that's just an FYI. Another thing that I have recently done, if you have got lower back pain, I don't have good material for the show because I found a video for back pain that I'm using now. And I can share it with you. You can always email me for show notes at mikemadison@wyeb.com. I don't have anything chronic, really. Once a year, it seems like, I get muscle spasms in my lower back. Pretty crippling stuff. Anybody who is suffering from back pain, my thoughts and prayers are with you because I know it is brutal. I only go through a week a year, but that is one long, hard week. I can't imagine a chronic problem. I think my back problems are all laid to some stupidity that was fueled by straight Crown Royal in my college years. My back has never quite been the same. I exercise and everything is generally fine, but I can feel some tightness in my back. So I was looking online, doing some of this online research for myself, for just some basic stretches to help me kind of get some more flexibility in my lower back. And I ran across this thing. It's got 12 different little stretches. You just lay on the floor and do it. Probably takes 5 to 10 minutes a day if you really do it and breathe into it and take your time with it. And I've done it just a couple of times, and it's been a noticeable difference. When I wake up in the morning, sometimes my lower back is just a little stiff at the beginning. Getting out of bed, it almost feels like there's just that little catch, you know, just a little kind of a dull something might happen to my back thing. And then I get up, move around, and blood starts flowing. It goes away for 51 weeks out of the year. And that 1 week, something happens and it flares up. But anyway, if you've got lower back pain and you're interested in some stretches, I'll share this with you if you'd like. And what I did was I played this video on my computer and I took my phone. And every time it went to a different pose, I just took a picture of it. Now I've got this little slideshow on my phone. I just lay on the floor. I stick my phone next to me. I look at the first pose. I do it for 20 to 40 seconds. Then I swipe right. I go to the next pose. I do it for 20 to 40 seconds. And as I said, in about probably 7 to 10 minutes, I'm pretty much done with this. I go about with my day. But it's been pretty interesting. My back has felt much more loose, particularly in the mornings when I wake up. I just haven't noticed any pain. So these things are out there. If you got lower back pain, email me, mikemadison@wyeb.com. I'll send you this thing. Maybe it'll help you. Or just go off and find one yourself. Now, yoga is probably great for back. This year, for sure, I'm going to do yoga. I say this every year for the past 8 years. But this year, for sure, I'm going to get into yoga. Anyway, one story I wanted to do before we get into the more meat of the show. This was a BrainTomorrow.com. Doing an act of kindness can make you feel good about yourself, and a new study suggests it also benefits the brains of everyone living under one roof. Researchers from the University of Texas at Dallas report that teaching and practicing kindness at home improved patients' resilience and children's empathy. Because both resilience and empathy use different cognitive skills, such as responding well to stressors and considering different perspectives, the researchers suggest kindness can improve a person's cognition. I think this is kind of important, and one of the reasons I wanted to point it out is because I think we kind of see the opposite being true these days, and I blame social media. I don't think we have ever lived in a time where we have this anonymity of social media where people can be so ugly to people that they don't know, that if they ran across them, you know, in a business meeting, they might end up going out and having lunch and having a nice day together. But instead, they encounter each other posting politics stuff online and become bitter enemies and say the worst stuff to people, the opposite of kindness. I know the temptation's there. It's a lot of frustrating political talk out online. You want to say your thing. I don't stand in judgment of anybody. I got 2 hours a day on the radio to say what I want to say. Maybe that's what affords me the luxury of not entertaining social media. I can't remember the last time I posted anything unless it was a sarcastic joke on a friend's Facebook page. But I think the opposite is true now. We're being so unkind to other people. I think it's messing with our brains. I think it's making us dumber. I think it's making us angrier. And it's very possibly making us sicker. Practicing kindness is probably a good overall mood booster. And apparently, according to these researchers, actually good for cognitive functioning, particularly when it comes to dealing with stress. So, I don't know. I just put it out there. maybe being rude to people online, drawing your partisan lines, having no tolerance for anybody who votes differently than you, seeing them as either a Hitler or a demon-possessed individual is not healthy for you, and it's actually affecting your own health. I'm just saying. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're in the middle of Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. And I ran across another pharmaceutical ad. This spurs a lot of content for this show. It's a topic I've talked about before. I'm kind of repeating myself, but it's one of these things that affects so many people in one way or another. And maybe if you don't have this particular condition, we're going to talk about IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. You've probably got some level of stomach problems. I suffered with these for so long. Maybe that's one of the reasons I cover this occasionally, maybe more regularly than some things, because I know how uncomfortable it is to go through your day with your stomach hurting and have to, every time you eat, you just know it's coming. I mean, I've got sympathy for these people, and I cured it, and I want other people to live a life without that problem as well. So I ran across this ad. This is for Linzess. As I say, I run across these ads, and of course, I pay attention to as much of the second half of the ad. That's where I think the real meat of the ad is in all of the side effects. But I ran across this and said, well, I'm going to do another segment with another natural health, with a functional health doctor telling you how what the natural alternatives are to treating IBS rather than this.
Right before Mike decided to say yes, he learned he had IBS-C and could treat it with Linzess. It explained why his constipation with belly pain wouldn't go away and why the belly pain discomfort and bloating couldn't be kept at bay. After Mike learned his symptoms were signs of a chronic condition.
Right there, chronic. According to these people, I suffered from a chronic health condition 17, 18 years ago. Now, I haven't suffered a bout of it now in 15, 16 years because I paid attention to what I was eating. But according to the medical model right now, if you've got it, you're stuck with it. You're medicated for the rest of your life. It's chronic. Nothing you can do.
His doctor helped him make a decision. And that's why he said yes to adding Linzess. Linzess is not a laxative. It helps you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and is proven to help relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Could your story also be about IBS-C? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess.
No, it's so catchy. Say yes to Linzess. Made a lot of money marketing that ad for him. I clicked off the ad. I don't know who manufactures that pill, but we know what the model is. And it's also odd to me. Don't give it to children under 2. It could damage them, I think is what I said, or it can harm them. So a 3-year-old, somebody who's, you know, if you're 2, you're 3 days short of your 3rd birthday. And then you turn 3, and 2 days later, you're eligible to get a Linzess. Now, it would have harmed that child 5 days earlier, but now that you've crossed this imaginary line of your 3rd birthday, now suddenly it's okay. Very interesting always to me to see these kind of arbitrary cutoff dates for these things that just say, you know, a birthday makes all the biological difference in the world. Your body does not, it's not a day-to-day operation. Anyway, as I said, find some trusted people online that you want to, if you want to search for natural health ways to reclaim your health, particularly through nutritional means. And one of the best out there is Dr. Mark Hyman. This is kind of a long piece. I always feel like I'm cheating a little bit to bring it, but this is an issue. As I say, stomach issues affect so many different people, and a lot of people are on these medications. I mean, tens of millions of people. This is one of those, you know, a third or 40% of Americans, 50% of Americans, I would say 70% of Americans have got, I think last week we talked about acid reflux and GERD and these kinds of things. The numbers were staggering. How many people are suffering with these things? Stomach problems is another one of these. So we'll listen to Dr. Berg talk about what causes these things. And then the title of this video, you can either email me for the link or you can just go search for it yourself on YouTube. House Call, How to Cure Irritable Bowel Syndrome in a Few Days. Now, what sounds better? Take this drug with all these potential side effects for the rest of your life for a chronic condition, Or just pay attention to what you're shoving in your pie hole, make a few changes, and you can cure it in a few days. Cure it, not treat it, not tamp down the symptoms, cure it in a few days. And I'm here to tell you, I cured mine in a few days. I didn't even know I was doing it. Anyway, here's Dr. Mark Hyman.
Welcome to my weekly house call. Your chance to ask me your question. So, this week's question is, I have irritable bowel syndrome. What do I do about it? What causes it? And do I have to take drugs? Well, irritable bowel syndrome is a huge problem. It affects 60, 70 million people. It's one of the most common reasons for visits to the doctor. And yet, most doctors have no clue how to treat it or what's really causing it. And that's where functional medicine comes in. Functional medicine is not a new treatment or test or modality. It's a whole new way of thinking about solving the puzzle of chronic symptoms and diseases. And the irritable bowel is a fantastic model for how functional medicine works. Now, what is it anyway? Well, irritable bowel is when you have symptoms of bloating or gas, distension, constipation, diarrhea, where your bowel is just irritable. And when you look in there with like a scope, you don't really see anything. So they call it functional bowel disease. But it really causes a lot of misery for a lot of people. And the causes, even though the symptoms may be the same, the causes can be different. So in functional medicine, we talk about the root causes, getting to the root cause. We have allergens, microbes, imbalancing the bugs in your system, toxins, poor diet, stress, all of which can trigger symptoms. And in any 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 people with irritable bowel, each one of them may have different causes for the exact same symptoms. So let's go through what they could be and then what we can do to find out what your symptoms are caused by and then what you can do to fix this thing once and for all, because it's fixable. It really is. And it's extraordinary how simple it is once you know the right thing to do. There's a funny joke I always tell about this patient who had his appendix out, and the doctor sends him a bill for $1,000, and the patient goes, "Wow, that's such a lot of money for such a simple operation." And the doctor's like, "You're right." So he sends him another bill. $1 for taking out your appendix, $999 for knowing what needs to be taken out. So functional medicine is sort of like that. We know exactly what to do and how to take things out. So the first thing that can happen is that foods can irritate your colon and irritate your bowel. They're called food sensitivities. It's not a true allergy like a peanut allergy or shellfish allergy, but it's a sensitivity, and they're very common. The most common cause is gluten. That's the protein found in wheat, barley, rye, oats, spelt. Very common reaction, even if you don't have celiac disease, which is full-blown reaction to gluten. Dairy, another big problem. And that can be caused by the lactose, which causes bloating and gas, but it may just be the casein and other proteins in the dairy that are causing irritation and inflammation in your gut. And there are many, many other foods like soy, corn, eggs, other foods that can also be irritants. And I talk a lot about this in my book, The Ultra Simple Diet, where I give people a comprehensive elimination diet so you can connect the dots whether what you're eating is causing your symptoms. Most people don't connect those dots very well. So first thing is allergens or sensitivities. There's some tests that you can do also, food sensitivity testing, gluten testing, that may be useful. And I talk a lot about that in many of my books. You can go online and find my How to Work with Your Doctor to Get What You Need guide. It's free, and you can actually download it and figure out what tests you need. The second thing is the ecosystem in your gut. You have an enormous ecosystem of bugs in there, 500 species of bugs. There's 100 trillion bacterial cells in there. That's 10 times as many as your own cells. In fact, there's 100 times as much bacterial DNA in you as your own DNA. So you're only really 10% human. And these bugs have to be in balance. If you have bad bugs or an overgrowth of yeast, if you have parasites, if you have worms, which we see sometimes, you can get symptoms. And they're common. And also, if you have bugs in the wrong spot, you can have a problem. Most of the bacteria are in your large intestine, but sometimes they kind of move up and they go into the small intestine. That's not very good because that should be sterile. And when you eat food that's starchy, bread, cereal, pasta, rice, or sugary, the bacteria in there ferment it. Like beer, you know, when like an apple cider blows up and the plastic container gets almost to explosion size, that's what happens in your gut. The bacteria ferment the sugars in the food you're eating, and you blow up. That's why you get this bloating right after meals. We call that postprandial bloating or bloating after you eat. And that's a very common sign of or symptom of bacterial overgrowth. We call that SIBO, S-I-B-O, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Very common and a very easy thing to treat if you use the right modality. The other thing that can happen is you get yeast overgrowth, which is common in your gut, but it's sort of like a garden when the weeds overtake it. Well, that's what happens. If you have too much yeast because you've taken lots of antibiotics, you've been on steroids, you've been on the birth control pill, you've taken acid-blocking drugs, you eat a lot of sugar, you're diabetic, all these things tend to cause overgrowth of yeast. And that can be treated with antifungals. It can be antifungal herbs or antifungal medication. Now, I'm not a big fan of medication, but sometimes for irritable bowel, a good non-absorbed antibiotic called Xifaxan will clear out the SIBO so you don't have a bloat, and an antifungal like nystatin or diflucan will clear out the yeast and you can kind of reboot. It's almost like hitting the reset button on your computer. You reboot your gut and then you start over. And then we focus on also looking at other things if that doesn't work. Parasites or worms, that may require some stool testing, and we do extensive stool testing in functional medicine to look at the ecosystem in there, not just, you know, whether you have an infection or not, but are things in balance? Do you have enough of the good bacteria? Whether you have worms or parasites or yeast or other bad bugs, we can tell all that, and that can be very helpful. But it's not always necessary, because sometimes just treating it, you'll get better. And then we use other things to help reset the system.
All right, we need to take a break real quick. I'll let him come back. How to heal your gut is what he's getting into right now. Believe me, it's not lost on me. It's kind of funny to me at 10:30 in the morning. We're listening to, you know, bowels and worms and things like this on conservative talk radio. That's not lost on me how weird that is, but I think it's important stuff. And I can't begin to tell you. It's almost like my life is segmented into two time periods. One where I had miserable chronic stomach pain, and then the last 15 years where I didn't. If anybody can be helped to get on the other side of that, it is amazing how much better you feel and just move about society if you do not have to worry about your stomach constantly hurting. So anyway, I think it's important stuff. Stick around if you want to hear the rest. Be right back.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment here. We're talking about how to cure irritable bowel syndrome in a few days. Look, you know, I suffered in silence for years and years, and it was interesting when I fixed it, when I changed my nutrition, started feeling better, and told people about it. All these people that I was with, they would all say, "Oh, I know, man, my stomach is always hurting. My stomach is always messed up." I was like, "Oh, we were all going through the same stuff. All of us trying to, we all suffered in silence." So I think this stuff is important. I'm going to let, this is Dr. Mark Hyman. He's a functional medicine doctor talking about how to cure, how to heal your gut in just a few days from IBS.
And we use other things to help reset the system. Because you can get rid of the bad stuff, but then you have to put in the good stuff. And so what is the good stuff? Well, enzymes, digestive enzymes can be very helpful. And those help break down the food while your gut's healing. You may need those for 2 or 3 months. We re-inoculate with healthy bacteria, probiotics, bifidobacter, lactobacillus, other strains of bacteria, and they help to repopulate the healthy gut flora and allow your digestion to work. You can also use flora-rich foods like kimchi or sauerkraut, sometimes yogurt if you're not dairy allergic, miso. These are all foods that have natural bacteria in them that can help your gut flora stay healthy. And then we use things to repair the gut. So we remove the bad stuff, we replace the things that are missing like enzymes, we re-inoculate with healthy bacteria, and we repair the gut with the right nutrients, vitamin A and zinc and fish oil and glutamine and evening primrose oil and all these wonderful nutrients that help repair the gut. We use herbs like quercetin and turmeric, things that just help reduce inflammation and heal a leaky gut. And a leaky gut just means that your gut lining is sort of interrupted. It's sort of broken. Normally the cells are stuck together like this, but they kind of come apart like Legos, and then food proteins and bacteria leak in. They start pissing off your immune system. You get inflammation. And not only do you have irritable bowel, but it can cause joint pain, fatigue, cognitive problems, depression, allergies, congestion, you name it, pretty much you can get it. Rashes, eczema, all of which can be caused by this gut issue. So in functional medicine, the gut is one of the most important things to focus on and to get working well, because that's the seat of your health. Now, if you want to learn more about this, I've written many blogs on the gut. And
all right, so that's Dr. Mark Hyman. He's a great online resource, tons of great information on YouTube. Now, a lot of his videos are an hour long. Are you willing to invest an hour into your health to cure a chronic condition? Or is it better to take 3 hours, take a long lunch, take a day off work, go to a doctor, go to the pharmacy every single month, and pay for pharmaceuticals to tamp down the symptoms of something? And you know, the problem is with these drugs, talked about it a lot here, but it bears repeating, is that when you address symptoms of something, the underlying problem is still there. It's still causing more and more and more damage. You're just managing the symptoms. That's what this model is about. It's not about getting to the root cause of curing anything. What Mark Hyman said on that is really true with just about every different health condition. First, stop doing the damage. Take the bad stuff out. Then start giving your body what it actually needs. In that case, with the gut stuff, enzymes, probiotics, and then the vitamins he listed. Vitamin A, zinc, using quercetin and using turmeric. Giving your body what it needs to repair itself and function properly. It's really not that hard. Always interesting to me that this is a hard sell for most Americans, because we've been led to believe there's a pill for every ill and you can do whatever you want to and treat it in a matter of seconds with your, you know, little helpers in the medicine cabinet. But when I run into somebody who has actually taken the time, done the research, and committed themselves to reclaiming their health, I can talk to them for hours. We're both so excited. We're both just so enthusiastic about feeling good every single day. I wish that for all of you. That's all the time I got today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.